hear your invitation. Let it all go. I see it now. I'm laying it down. I know that I need you. I've run to the Father, full of your grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. The Son for redemption, the price for my heart. I don't ever contest that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I've run to the Father, full of your grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again.
You're listening to CatholicInternetRadio.com. I'm Kathleen McCarthy. Thank you for joining us today. We are pleased to be able to bring you wonderful Catholic programming and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I invite you now to join us as we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Our Lord told Sister Faustina that through the chaplet you will obtain everything if what you ask for is compatible with my will. Let us offer this chaplet for all who are suffering and for the souls of those persons who may be dying at this very hour.
O my Jesus, I unite my desires to the desires that you had on the cross. I call upon you and beg your mercy for poor sinners. O most sacred heart, fount of mercy from which gush forth rays of inconceivable graces, be mindful of your own bitter passion and do not permit the loss of souls redeemed at so dear a price. O Jesus, let every soul trust in your passion and place its hope in your mercy. You will not deny your mercy to anyone. Heaven and earth may change, but your mercy will never be exhausted. Jesus, I desire to bring all sinners to your feet, that they may glorify your mercy throughout endless ages. I now embrace the whole world and ask you for mercy for it.
You expire, Jesus.
But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world, and empty yourself out upon us.
O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Agony of Jesus. I entered into the sufferings which Jesus underwent in the Garden of Olives. The Lord pressed me to his heart and said, I shall give you a small portion of my passion, but do not be afraid, be brave. Do not seek relief, but accept everything with submission to my will. When Jesus was taking leave of me, such great pain filled my soul that it is impossible to express it. Every beat of Jesus' heart was reflected in my heart and pierced my soul. In the course of this suffering, my love grew immeasurably. Together with him, I underwent in a special way all the various tortures. The world still has no idea of all that Jesus suffered. I accompanied him to the Garden of Gethsemane. I stayed with him in the prison. I went with him before the judges. I underwent with him each of the tortures. Not a single one of his movements or looks escaped my notice. I came to know all the omnipotence of his love and of his mercy toward souls.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
The Scourging. I saw the Lord Jesus tied to a pillar, stripped of his clothes, and the scourging began immediately. I saw four men who took turns at striking the Lord with scourges. My heart almost stopped at the sight of these tortures. I saw how the Lord Jesus suffered as he was being scourged. Oh, such an inconceivable agony! His blood flowed to the ground, and in some places his flesh started to fall off. I saw a few bare bones on his back. The meek Jesus moaned softly and sighed. The Lord said to me, "I suffer even greater pain than that which you see." Then Jesus gave me to know for what sins he subjected himself to the scourging. These are sins of impurity. Oh, how dreadful was Jesus' moral suffering during the scourging.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful.
Times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with his mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It's October 9th, 2023. And we have a powerful program lined up for you today. But let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we offer up this program to you, and we pray through the intercession of your beloved Mother Mary that this program touches many hearts, that hearts are transformed, that all the angst in the world is settled and calmed and silenced. Lord Jesus, we give you our hearts today, and we pray that our hearts will serve you in your Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We entrust the equipment, the station, and all those behind the scenes as well. In Jesus' holy name, amen. My friends, it's very difficult to get on the air when one turns on the national news and sees the heartache of what's happening in Israel. And last night, in the middle of the night, I was praying, and it just came to me, an old priest friend who died in 2016, Monsignor Lawrence Sweeney from Utah, who experienced a Eucharistic miracle in his parish. He had left some Vimeo outtakes, and one of them, I watched about 1 a.m., and it dealt with, you know, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter if you're president, if you're the head of a country, if you're a janitor, the Lord is in control. Our Lady is standing in front of him. She is with him. So we need to trust, my friends, at a higher level, at a deeper level, that all is in God's hands. No matter how ugly it is right now, we know that if we entrust our lives to the Lord, he has a plan and he will prevail. So this is why we have this program today, my friends. I am really happy that an old friend of mine contacted me and asked if I would have this guest on, and I jumped and said, oh, absolutely, because we're going to be talking about a lot of things. But my guest today is Maureen Flynn. She's the publisher and editor of the magazine, many of you know it, Signs and Wonders for Our Times. She's co-authored several books. She's the founder and director of a crisis pregnancy center in Northern Virginia. Many of you have heard her speak. She's a writer, reporter on Eucharistic miracles, Marian apparitions, the power of prayer, fasting, and so much more. But most importantly, we're going to be talking today about the 31st International Week of Prayer and Fasting, which will be held in Washington, D.C., at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Now, the date, mark your calendars, is October 20th to 28th. Now, if you can't go in person, which we highly recommend, it will also be live streamed. This is 9 days of mass, prayer, fasting, rosaries, and adoration. Now, can you think of a better time period than right now for this 9 days of mass, prayer, fasting? Can you? I mean, of all times in history, this is a prophetic time for this to be set up. Do you think Maureen and her husband, the co-founders of this amazing International Week of Prayer and Fasting, just said, hey, you know, this week sounds like a good week? Well, God deemed this the week. So I can't wait for Maureen to be on the air to hear all the behind the scenes. Amazing speakers will be there. If you can get to D.C. on the train from the Philadelphia, New York, Maryland areas, or you can drive down if you're in New Jersey, wherever you are at, our listeners in Europe and South America, just cover this International Week of Prayer and Fasting from your country to make sure they're in Washington. So let's pray for a miracle. Let's pray for a revival of our faith, of our Catholic faith and our belief in the power of prayer. We know that prayer and fasting will stop wars. Our Lady has said that. Our Lady has said that. So why do we back off when we know we have the power behind us of Our Lady in prayer and fasting? It's been years since I've spoken to Maureen. I knew her in the early 1990s. Can you believe we go back that far? She and her husband, Ted Flynn. And I know that if anyone has her hand on the pulse of what is happening behind the scenes with Eucharistic miracles and adoration and the rosaries and the power of fasting, it's Maureen. Why else would she be the co-founder of an international week of prayer and fasting? She wouldn't. This is not just an event where you sit and you're entertained. This is a life-changing period, 9 days at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. If you can make it, please try. Please try. And Maureen, I don't want to spill the beans before she comes on. There is so much more to this, so much more. You know, one of the coadjutors for the cause of Maria Esperanza will be there, Timothy Byerly, Father Timothy Byerly. Again, I want Maureen to share all the speakers. And then, of course, the portion of Miracles of the Holy Eucharist. The theme this year is Miracles of the Holy Eucharist. So, my friends, call your friends. Make sure you tune in for this dynamic, life-changing time. You need to know that behind the scenes, there is hope. Our Lady's in charge. Jesus is in charge. There is hope. Why else would Maureen and her husband even try to put on an international week of prayer and fasting? And it's actually 9 days. Why? It's a lot of work, because they believe in the power of prayer. They've lived it. They've lived it. It's not something that's a business and they think, well, let's give it a try. No, they live it. They believe it. And this is what we all need to be part of, my friends. We all need to be part of this amazing event. Again, my guest who will be calling in is Maureen Flynn. She's a publisher and editor of the magazine Signs and Wonders for Our Time. She's a co-author of several books, and she's the founder and director of a crisis pregnancy center in Northern Virginia. She is a well-known, internationally known speaker, writer, reporter on Eucharistic miracles, Marian apparitions, the power of prayer and fasting, and so much more. I know you will enjoy hearing Maureen speak and share with me live on the air. So, my friends, this will not be a call-in program. It will be a coffee table program where we're sharing so much together. And I pray that she has the right number to call in. She's calling in from out of state. And sometimes it is an issue of connecting because of new equipment and connections in the studio, which was moved this summer. So I'm calling in from a remote location, and I pray that Maureen can successfully call through.
Maureen's on the line.
Hi, Maureen. You're live on the air.
Oh, wonderful. Saying hi.
Welcome.
To everybody.
It's been
today.
So long. I'm so happy to have you live on the air.
It is great. I remember, I think we saw each other a lot in the 80s, I believe, or the early 90s. The early 90s, all the different conferences. And I remember you had worked on a Eucharistic video way, way back.
The Father's Gift.
Yes, I remember you doing that because I thought she's right on what she's doing. And now, of course, with what the bishops are doing with the Eucharistic Revival, and Blessed Carlo Acutis is making it very popular now about, you know, showing everyone the importance of the Eucharist. It's truly Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it just seems to be a real sea change happening. Before, with the rosary, people were really getting into the rosary, and now they're really getting into really understanding the true presence and the importance of our Lord and the importance of adoration. So this is all good stuff.
Well, Maureen, I'm so happy you're on the air with us today. And I wanted to have you share a little bit, and then we'll go back and forth, about this International Week of Prayer and Fasting. Introduce our listeners to what will be happening and why it's happening.
Okay. So this is the 31st year of the International Week of Prayer and Fasting. And this year, it's October 20th, and it goes through to the 28th. And the closing day of Saturday, the 28th, will be a live event at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception with Bishop Baker, Father Tim Byerly, Ray Grijalba, who's the young producer of the new film, The New Manna. He's doing it in conjunction with a really incredible Hollywood director, Angelo Labuti, who somehow, there's a big connection with Padre Pio between his godfather and, of course, Ray Grijalba has a great devotion to Padre Pio. And then we have Dr. Carlos Paralada, who's a surgeon from Mexico who's coming from Guatemala. He's coming to speak about the investigation of the Tizla, Mexico Eucharistic miracle, which happened October 21st, 2006. And that was shortly after Carlo Acutis passed away to his eternal reward. So this is a connection there. And Sister Dee Dee Byrne, who's always amazing, she is on fire. She speaks for life. And then, of course, my husband, Ted, will be speaking on the centrality of the Eucharist in Marian church-approved Marian apparitions. So it's a great line of people. We will be praying the rosary with the different groups. So we have the Asian communities coming together, the African communities coming together, the Spanish communities coming together. They wear their beautiful, you know, different dresses showing their country. And then we have the beautiful Mass at noon with a 100-member choir and confessions all day. That's one of the great graces, is there are so many confessions that people, you know, feel really led during that day of intense prayer for confession. And then earlier in the week, October 20th, October 21st, and October 23rd, so three virtual days where there are pre-recorded talks. And Antonio Acutis just did a really special video welcoming all the participants to the 31st International that will, you know, be part of this for the Week of Prayer and Fasting. And she did a video along with Ray Grijalba, and he mentioned he will be at the Basilica Day. And I've heard her speak a few times. She's on fire. Ooh. She's filled with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, her son evidently passed on his great love to her, because she's amazing. And then we have Father Chris A. Lahr. I think a lot of people know him. He is, I think, one of the great pre-speakers out there. And then we have Father Altier, and he's going to talk about the attacks on marriage and the family. Nikki Kingsley was a former Muslim who had this amazing, amazing conversion story. And she is totally in love with Jesus, totally in love with the Eucharist. And we're going to be doing a story on her in our magazine in the winter issue. And then Father Gunter, who has done a lot on these are the days of Elijah. He's a retreat master. He's very powerful speaker. And then Dr. Peter Howard, he's done a lot about Venerable Fulton Sheen, mm-hmm. and how Fulton Sheen, you know, the importance of the Eucharistic Holy Hour, and also the importance of laity in these times. And Bishop Sheen, Archbishop Sheen, talked about that the laity will be very key in these times that we're in to help the church to stay the course. And then Mark Hawk, a lot of people know of him. I think you do, right?
His mother-in-law runs his network. That's mother-in-law, Kathleen McCarthy.
That's what I heard. Well, he's a rock star in a good, you know, in a great way. And boy, did he stay the course. And what a wonderful model to people. And I think especially, you know, men, to stand mm-hmm. for the faith, to stand for life. And now he's running for Congress. So
wonderful.
God bless him and God bless their family, because, you know, we need strong men like that. And then we have Karen Japson. I met her really in the past year. She's part of this. We're part of a coalition called CEMA, Coalition of Eucharistic and Marian Apostolates. And she joined us probably about 6 months ago. It's been meeting for 3 years, and she feels real led to, you know, interview a lot of the bishops around the country about the Eucharistic revival that they started mm-hmm. last year. And she's actually done a great job finding out what a lot of these people think, a lot of the bishops think about this. and showing us that, God bless these bishops, they're taking the lead. And we need that in these times, because that's, I believe that's going to, you know, between the Eucharist and the Rosary, the Eucharist, the twin pillars that St. John Bosco saw in his 1862 dream, vision, really, right. It was a vision. And he saw the two pillars, and then he saw the storm coming through the two pillars, and that it would be the Eucharist and Our Lady that would bring us, the church, through the storm, and that the boat of Peter was that ship going through the storm. And then Father Ron Stone, he has an amazing testimony. We've known him for many, many years. He was a cocaine addict for years. He attempted suicide 3 times. This is all part of his testimony. And then he cried out and said, Lord, if you're there, I need you. And he had this amazing conversion experience after praying 1 decade of the rosary every day for a week. He kept on hearing a woman's voice, pray the rosary, pray the rosary. So he figured, I have nothing to lose. And he went into a church, and there was one brochure on the bookshelf, one. And it said how to pray the rosary, because he forgot how to do it from, you know, childhood. Started to pray the rosary and felt this thing lift. And he became a priest in 2001. He is on fire for the Blessed Mother. He is on fire for the Eucharist. And he's currently pastor at a church in Tennessee. So there's a great lineup of speakers. It's free on each day that people go. They go to the site, iwopf.org. They can register online for free. And we just felt that this was important for these times to get people together and participate, to gather, number one, to pray. That's the most important thing right now, especially with what's happening in the Mideast. If we can get everyone gathering together in their homes, in their parishes, wherever they're at, and we are united for 9 days, I believe we're going to see miracles.
I do, too. Do you remember in the old days, you and Ted, June Keithley Castro, in the Philippines, and do you remember she rallied the people with their rosaries against the tanks?
Yes.
And the tanks were ready to invade, and it stopped everything.
Yes, and it came out years later. We did an article on it about maybe 2 years ago, that a lot of these soldiers saw the Blessed Mother. A lot of people
really?
Don't realize that. Yes, they saw her. Because I always thought, there's more to this story. And then I'll see if I can find that article and mail it up to you, or I'll try to send it to you by email. But a lot of the soldiers saw this beautiful woman, and at one point they actually heard her speak, and I don't remember the exact words, but it was like, you know, leave my people alone or something. But the point was they saw the Blessed Mother. That's huge. And people, you know, need to understand in a good way, this is not a done deal, what's happening in the Mideast right now. It may look really horrific. Right now it does. But if enough of us come together in prayer, fasting, rosary, mass, adoration, confession, and we go before our Lord and our Blessed Mother and beseech for their great mercy, I believe we will see a miracle. And there's tons of those rosary miracles, which I'm sure you probably talk about those often. With the rosary miracles,
So if you have a new one, let us know. Let our listeners know about one.
Sure. Okay, we used to send out this letter every year when we do the Week of Prayer and Fasting. When I say we do, we coordinate it with many, many groups. And some of the ones we used to highlight is after 700,000 people agreed to pray the rosary in Austria, the Soviets mysteriously departed the country on the anniversary date of Fatima, May 13th, 1955. Okay, they just left. After the Pope called for prayer, 1 million pilgrims in Fatima held an all-night prayer vigil before the Blessed Sacrament. The next day, October 13th, 1960, an accident exploded a new Soviet missile, killing many of the top scientists and setting back the Soviet nuclear arms program by at least 20 years, according to numerous reports. That's pretty amazing. Then there was another major rosary crusade, and a massive explosion on May 13, 1984, eliminated 2/3 of the missiles of the Soviet Union's powerful northern fleet. So they were still, you know, beginning to get their missiles together, and then they blew up. 4 years later, it happened again. as thousands prayed all night long on May 12, 1988, during the vigil of the anniversary of the apparition at Fatima, another major explosion shut down the Soviet Union's only missile power plant. So, you know, prayer and fasting can prevent wars and can prevent catastrophes. And although their war has been started, it can be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a rallying cry to all of us for the sake of all the peoples of the world, for the sake of all the children out there, for the sake of all the families. Now is the time to forget about shopping, forget about all these other kinds of things, and focus. We've to pray the rosary every day with our spouse, with our kids, with our grandkids. Just make it a priority and say we have to pray for the, you know, for our own nation and for all these other nations currently in this whole situation, for the world, because this could explode and become a great war, and we don't want that to happen.
Well, you and Ted are behind the scenes on a lot of the Marian apparitions, the Eucharistic miracles, and the rosary miracles around the world. You have your hand on the pulse of what's happening. Do you sense that there is an increase, that the pulse is increasing, and that there's a lack of belief by good Christians, by good Catholics? They're just lazy and spiritually lazy. Talk to our listeners about this.
Sure. I think what happens is to all of us, you know, we all have our lives. We have our, you know, our families and our hobbies and things that we're doing. And Our Lady keeps on saying prayer, the rosary. She said the more we pray the rosary, that we can actually bring down, we can influence all the events. Let me just read this particular message she gave years ago. Your entire rosary, which you recite in the cenacle, or prayer group, right, in accordance with the urgent request of your mother, is like an immense chain of love and salvation, now here's the key, with which you are able to encircle persons and situations and even to influence all the events of your time. We can influence all the events of our time. That's huge. And then she says,
we need to get that message out. We need to get that message out because people forget it.
They forget. I periodically bring these messages out and I read them again because it just gives me the incentive. All right, we've got to pray the rosary, you know, get to daily mass. Through the grace of God, I've been going to daily mass since 1987 when I got back from Medjugorje. I made that commitment. And, of course, praying the rosary. But I think a lot more people could go to daily mass. And I want to encourage you, every mass you attend worthily in this life will cut back your time in purgatory, will bring great graces on your marriages, on your families. I mean, it's like getting $1 million every morning. One of the priests said that years ago. He said, you go to receive Jesus. He has all the treasures. It's like you're getting $1 million every day you come here. And that always stayed with me. I thought, that's true. And The more we pray together, Our Lady said right here, I am now able to make use of the power that comes to me from your prayer. So she needs our prayers. And I want to intervene as a mother to shorten the time of the trial and to comfort you in the sufferings which await you. And then she says, everything can still be changed if you, my children, listen to my voice and unite yourselves through prayer with the unceasing intercession of your Heavenly Mother. So she's telling us, I need you. I need you to help me for the world peace, for changes in the world, to end abortion, the killing of the innocent. And we had interviewed this former Satanist. This was last year. And one of the things that struck me, he really had this amazing conversion. It's going to go down as one of the big ones. And when someone gave him a miraculous medal and he held on to it, he felt this power, everything went dark. And Our Lady appeared in front of him. He said, the most beautiful woman. And she looked at him and said, I need you to help me end abortion. And then she turned him around, and Our Lord is divine mercy, and I never asked the details of that other than this beautiful being of light, Divine Mercy. And he sounds like he received such a remarkable conversion and infused knowledge is what we're understanding. And he now speaks to a lot of the youth groups. He speaks to priests. He talks about the power of adoration, the power of the Holy Mass. And apparently after his conversion, he went to adoration. He saw Jesus up on the altar. Actually, physically saw him. He said, "Why? How come no one's here?" He goes, "He's there. Where are the people?" And I thought, wow, it takes a person who walked in the dark side, who has this amazing touch by the Lord and our Blessed Mother, and he's really helping people to realize the treasures of the church. We have the most amazing treasures. And when we use these treasures, these weapons, evil is destroyed. And that's the power when we all come together. No matter where we're at, if we're gathering for our 9-day novena of prayer and fasting, we will see miracles.
Oh, I believe it, Maureen. I believe it. I mean, to me, you speaking on the air today, I mean, this broadcast covers people around the world. It's a mandate. You're sharing a mandate from heaven for us to intercede before God the Father for our own salvation and to save the world. This is not, you know, it's a fad. It's not a fad that you're talking about. You're mandating Christians to come to the International Week of Prayer and Fasting, asking, I want you to join the army of God's army and Our Lady's army in sending these prayers to heaven for, you know, for this country, for what's happening in Israel, for the abortion industry, all the things that you're involved directly with. I call it a mandate. I think what you have, this is the 31st International Week of Prayer and Fasting. It's extraordinary what you've done.
It's been many years, but this year we felt really called because of the Eucharistic revival. And I want to give a shout out to our bishops, all of us, you know, give a shout out to our bishops who have really come together for this Eucharistic revival, which started last year. We're in the second year, and then next year they're planning all these pilgrimage routes through the different corners of the United States, and they're going to be ending up at, I think it's called Lucas Auditorium in Indianapolis. They're expecting like 60 to 80,000 people. And I ended up going to a meeting down at the Basilica in March, and the Bishop Cousins spoke, and I'm glad I went because I didn't really know him other than his name, but he's really one of the heads. What a love for our Lord that he has. And some of the key people around him, they were fired up, and they felt this speaking of a mandate, they felt this mandate to bring the presence of Jesus to people, to make them really understand that Jesus is the Eucharist, that the body, blood, soul, and divinity is in the Eucharist. And we're hearing all these stories. Alitalia just did a really great story. We got permission to put it in our magazine. There was a young woman who was got very sick, and she was sick for several years. And she had a beautiful childhood. You know, her parents were very Catholic. But something happened to her, and she developed some disease, and she was, like, laying on the bed. And then she ended up calling out to the Lord because the family used to go together for adoration. And she struggled to go for adoration. And she saw many doctors. She went underneath a lot of extensive testing. And she was diagnosed with this disease. I don't know if you've ever heard it, called POTS.
Yes.
POTS, a nervous system disorder that affects your heart rate and blood pressure. And she just could hardly walk. And there's pictures of her laying on a sofa with her brothers and sisters. And then on April 1st, 2017, she went with her family to the Adoration Chapel for their regular, you know, time of adoration. And she couldn't even sit up in a pew, so she lay on the exercise mat in the back of the chapel. And then she decided she needed to pray. She said, "I prayed for healing before, but the answer was always a very clear not yet. This time, my prayer was different. It was April Fool's Day. Knowing Jesus has a sense of humor, I asked if he would grant me a dramatic healing as an April Fool's prank so I could confuse people with my sudden health. To my surprise, he agreed. At first, she didn't feel any different. She didn't want to try walking in case she fell. She asked for confirmation to what she was hearing was generally from God and not just her own mind telling her that what she wanted to hear. I told Jesus, I know you don't do this a lot outside of the Old Testament, but if I'm really healed, could you send a physically audible voice telling me it's okay to get up and move around? He said he would, but I didn't hear anything outside of my own heart. When it was time to go, her mom teasingly quoted John 5:8, whispering, take up your mat and walk. Julia knew that was her sign. She said she rolled up her mat, genuflected, and to the alarm of her parents, began to walk home. It was only a few blocks, but even walking across the room would normally have worn me out. So she walked all the way home. Her parents realized that they had experienced a miracle. Apparently, she went to her doctors, and she went to her therapists, her medical providers. They were all shocked, like, what happened? She said the next few days were fun visiting all these medical people because POTS is an illness that never goes away suddenly. So it was a definite miracle. So she's praying
for
the Lord.
Maureen, I need you to stay on the line. We have to cut to a commercial break.
She looks like,
and when we come back, we'll continue with some of this story. So please stay on the line.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday live from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., and today we have a very special guest with us, Maureen Flynn, who is a publisher and editor of the magazine Signs and Wonders for Our Times. She's a co-author of several books. She's a speaker on so many subjects, a writer, reporter on Eucharistic miracles, Marian apparitions, the power of prayer and fasting. But most importantly today, I want to encourage you to participate in the 31st International Week of Prayer and Fasting, October 20th to 28th, at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. It's 9 days of Mass, prayers, fasting, rosary, confession, and adoration. My friends, you don't want to miss it, particularly at this time in history. So, Maureen, you were telling us about the woman healed of POTS. I'm very familiar. I have a family member with it. You could pass out by standing just a few seconds.
Well, it's a great story because you know, she just felt called to ask our Lord for healing, and mm-hmm. he healed her. Sometimes we don't realize, you know, we're afraid to ask. What do we have to lose by asking? And sounds like she was very devout, you know, very devout, and she went to adoration with her parents and then just decided, okay, I'm going to ask. And the Lord answered her. And it's a beautiful story. And, you know, we had seen it online, and we ended up calling them or got permission to put it in the winter issue, which we started working on right now, because there's miracles happening all over. There's all kinds of beautiful stories of conversions and healings. And in the midst of the craziness, sometimes we like to call these, seems like it's the crazy times, you know?
It is.
But in the midst of a lot of this evil, you see the power of God in so many ways. So in our area, I'm from the Arlington Diocese, so many of the churches now have adoration. They're praying the rosary before Mass or after Mass. Compared to years ago, I see a huge change of all these wonderful apostolates out there, you know, a lot of these good churches, and they are really, I'm seeing the rosary, it's really being emphasized a lot, especially in our area. I can't speak for all the other areas, although I am hearing more stories from people on our mailing list. And then the whole thing with Our Lord in the Eucharist and these Eucharistic miracles, and I believe this film that will be coming out, hopefully next year, The New Manna, by this group, the Eucharistic Miracles movie. You can go there and donate.com. Ray will be speaking at the Basilica, and we're hoping we, you know, can show the trailer at least on our website. And it's beautiful because it's like he's continuing the work of Carlos Acutis. And I did read a book on Carlo Acutis because I thought, who was this kid who at 7 years old started to go to daily Mass? I mean, there were special graces. And a particular priest I was talking to recently felt maybe that the good Lord gave infused knowledge to Carlo Acutis. And I said, oh, that's interesting. That would, you know, could explain. But he definitely got so many graces because the way he just loved life, the way he, you know, was with all these people around him, the other kids around him, they are all drawn to him. And then the way he documented, he even documented the Marian apparitions. Then he started documenting with his computer all these Eucharistic miracles. And then, of course, later people put those into panels. He just had such a zest for life, and he felt he had a... There was a couple things he said that almost indicated he knew he would die young. Because when he was diagnosed, I think he was 15 years old, it was at the beginning of October, and then he died, like, I think it was 10 days later. It was very quick. And he told his mother, he prophesied to his mother that within a year or two, she would have twins, which she did. But when you read his life and his love for the Lord, I think he's a great example to the youth today. And people are really drawn to him, especially the young people. So I feel there's a lot of hope out there. I really do. And we've got to pray really hard. But go ahead.
Last week I had the great blessing of meeting Carlos's mother at Malvern Retreat House, Antonia, and the producer from Hollywood for the film on Manna. And Malvern, you may not know this, opened up the first exhibition shrine in the United States for Carlo Acutis. It's the first. Huge area of the retreat house has been customized for the shrine with relics from Mrs. Acutis, carried them over from Italy. And it was dedicated last week, and there was a huge tent of over 1,000 people, mostly young, on the lawn. So Carlo Acutis attracted all the young people under this tent, and it was amazing. So there is an attraction to him. He's buried in Nike sneakers, and his mom shared that he was a lousy football player, but he loved it, and that he was a computer geek, and he just started to love the Eucharist and attend daily Mass and brought them, by the way, back to the church. He brought his family back to the church.
That's what I had heard, yes. I knew he was going to Malvern, but I didn't know all that you just said to us. That's amazing. That's awesome. Makes me want to go up there and see it soon.
Well, you have to.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to, because it is an amazing place, and it's a specific priest that we both know, which I would not share on the air, said that he felt Carlo Acutis's presence there.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
I believe that.
In any case, you have to come back. I mean, I'm not there. I'm long retired. But you're talking about Carlos, and I just hope that we have a lot of young listeners, and I pray that they go to Washington and represent the youth, you know, that you're going to have so much at the shrine, the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Catholic University's right next to you. I hope you draw the young people from there.
Yeah, that's what we're praying. We're praying to the holy angels to go out and help get the word out, and you're one of the angels, to spread the word to people, to encourage everybody to participate. And, you know, and if they can't come to the Basilica at the beginning of the week, they can, you know, be with us. They could go online and watch the pre-recorded talks. And we're going to have the rosary being recited by Joan and Dave Maroney. They're great. And there's the talks are going to encourage everyone to be involved. But they don't have to listen to every talk. They can go on there and pick and choose. So the day of October 20th, they can choose whoever they want to, you know, listen to. And then if they want to choose someone the next day, they can. The other thing we're doing is for those people who miss it, I always say, you know, sometimes it's hard to find good shows on TV. There's some really abysmal stories. Other than if you go to Formed has great stories. And if they purchase an all-access pass, it allows them all year to choose whoever they want to, you know, listen to. So some of the prayer groups have bought the all-access pass, like I'm one member. And then when they meet, they'll say, okay, let's listen to this woman, Nikki Kingsley, who had this experience with Jesus. Well, first with Our Lady. Our Lady appeared to her in some dreams. And then, you know, next week when we get together, we'll listen to Mark Hawk. So we set it up that way so people can avail themselves if they want and watch these different speakers. And I think those kind of things help to motivate us. I think we all need to be motivated, to be encouraged. And I think it's beautiful when we get together in these times and we, you know, encourage people, let's get behind, let's be with the Blessed Mother. She said she will intervene for us, but she needs our help. And there's another message here that I want to read. As has already happened in other critical situations, so also today, the Church will be defended and saved by its victorious Mother through the power which comes to me from you, my little children, by means of the frequent recitation of the Holy Rosary. And I found that an interesting way to say something where she's saying she needs our prayers. I need you. And she has said that in other apparitions. She needs us to collaborate with her to bring this victory. And you know, she's the new Eve. She's like the new Esther. And when Esther went before the king to pray and fast to intercede that her people would not be annihilated, and of course he did intervene, and they had the victory. So Our Lady's asking us for the prayers and the fasting, and we do that together. She'll intervene. There'll be miracles, just like in Egypt. I'm trying to remember the year. It was in the 70s when Our Lady was appearing. Remember this story years
yes.
ago? They saw
yes.
this woman walking on the top of a mosque
right
in Egypt.
It
fact,
looked like a white figure of Our Lady
back
on top of the
remind
the Coptic church.
And she did that for a period of several days. There's pictures of her. And then there's pictures of all these people looking up at the dome in shock, like, what is she doing? But it's clearly a woman walking, and that was when I think it was the Six-Day War it ended.
Mm-hmm.
So I just realized that's probably something we should resurrect and put it in this issue coming up, because nothing's set in stone. It all depends on prayer. Mankind's response is the wild card. And she said clearly that through fasting, the whole plan of Our Lady, that God himself planned to the world's salvation during this special time, will be achieved. And she said that the bread and water is the best fast. Well, some people can do it, some people can't, but some kind of fasting, some kind of get, you know, don't have coffee for the week, or maybe do two meals instead of one meal, or maybe, you know, people are dessert eaters. Say no to dessert for a while. I mean, there are all things that we can offer up as part of the fasting. And then, of course, the rosary every day. And if you can say two mysteries every day, great. If you're already doing two, do three. And then the same thing with adoration. If you're doing 1 hour a week, do 2 hours a week. And again, Divine Mercy Chaplet is critical. So we've been told what the weapons are that will destroy the evil plots. And the exorcists have said when Our Lady shows up during an exorcism, the demons flee. They're out of there.
Oh, yeah.
So she's powerful, and she's told us what we need to do. So I think as the week progresses and we see these horrible pictures on TV, I think we need to make those pictures. Instead of putting all this fear in us, let's make these pictures move us forward in prayer, and that we get down on our knees and pray and encourage all our family members. And if they don't join us, then we just do it. We all can do something. And that's where I believe we'll see miracles.
Right. And so if you're listening and you're in a nursing home or in prison or you're living alone, you have been given a great gift of intercession. So please pray for this International Week of Prayer and Fasting, and pray for all the individuals around the world. People feel, we have had in the past people in prison and people in nursing homes listen, and they feel useless, Maureen. They feel useless, yes, because they can't leave their environment to participate in these things.
No, they're not useless. We need them because they're powerful with their suffering, to offer their suffering to Our Lady and ask her to use the suffering. They're very powerful, and I want to encourage anybody out there who's sick or suffering, you can give your suffering to the Blessed Mother for her to use for this whole situation right now. They're very powerful. And that's a mystery, too, about how this all happens, but it's true. Victim souls are needed at this time. The power of offering or suffering, whether it's emotional suffering, some people have a great emotional suffering. Offer it to the Blessed Mother and say, I'm going to offer this up for peace in the Mideast. I'm going to offer this up for an end to abortion. You know, make use of what you're going through. Don't let it be wasted, your suffering. Let it be used by Our Lady.
Maureen, tell our listeners, does one have to register to attend? What is the process if someone's just tuning in? And if you're just tuning in, we have a whole new audience. We're talking with Maureen Flynn about the 31st International Week of Prayer and Fasting to be held October 20th to 28th at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. Now, would one have to register, or can they just show up?
Well, they can just show up, of course, because it's a free event, but we're asking people if they can register, because we're going to have a lot of free literature there. We're going to have a lot of these special Carlo Acutis cards that they can take, because the relic of Carlo Acutis will be there at the Basilica, so they can venerate the relic while they're there. And we're going to have some of the Eucharistic displays there on downstairs. We're going to have some tables with the Eucharistic display on it, and also upstairs. And we're going to have his prayer card there that people can take and touch the relic, and so, you know, they have some special graces. And we met someone the other day who visited the relics, and I probably can't tell the whole story online yet or on the phone, but she prayed before the relics, and the next morning woke up and was healed. She had some problems with walking and that kind of situation, and so her doctors are saying, yes, it was a miracle, but there's more of these things happening all over, so we want to encourage people to come. We have also special prayer cards on the miracles of Tizla, Mexico. We have special Eucharistic prayer cards on Batania, Venezuela, which was December 8, 1991. Servant of God, Maria Esperanza, was, I believe, in the church when this Eucharistic miracle occurs. We have that. And we have a lot of other treasures of the church showing all these Eucharistic miracles. So there'll be a lot of free information. but it helps to know how many are coming. So we are asking if they can register online for the in-person event at the Basilica would be great. And then, of course, the virtual, if they want to attend that, that'll encourage them to be involved and motivate them to keep up the prayers during the week.
And what is the name of your website or your email that one can use to find out this information?
All right. They can go to I for international, W for week, O for of, P for prayer, F for fasting.org. IWOP for prayer, F for fasting.org. And they can also email us if they wish at info@IWOPF.org. Or we also have an 888 number if they have some questions, 888-478-PRAY. We do have flyers online. If they go to the website, it says how to participate. There's banners and flyers. They can go on the website and see the flyers. And if they don't want to download it, they can call our office and we can send some flyers out to them.
It's easy. You've made it easy. I can't imagine the amount of planning behind the scenes. This is your 31st. You can't leave me without telling our audience, why in the world did you start this? And this is your 31st time, the first time you and Ted
yep.
put this together. I'm sure people are just tuning in wondering, how did you do this?
Okay, well, I'll tell you this quickly because I think we only have a few minutes, right?
Right.
What happened is back in 1989, so my children were young, and I was reading the Washington Post back then. You know, you had these newspapers, not anymore, but back then. And I saw this article. It really bothered me. It showed these grandmothers, and they were holding these children, and they were saying how they were for abortion. I was, like, shocked. I'm like, what? These are grandmothers. They're holding these kids, and they think abortion is okay? It just really bothered me. So I called a good friend of ours, John Downs, who was a very holy man, and I had met him several years before. He used to put together the Rosary Congress in Washington, D.C., and he was a quadriplegic. He was an amazing person. And so I called him up and I said, John, what if we did a day of prayer? And, you know, because, and I told him what I had seen in the newspaper. He goes, Maureen, that's not enough. If you can get 7 days and nights of prayer and do some fasting, that's what you need to do. So he encouraged us to pray. And then he said, when should we do it? He goes, well, when you go to bed tonight, ask Our Lady when she wants this. Well, he was such a godly man. He suffered greatly, but he never complained. So I would be around him if I got a headache, and I'd be like, ugh. And he was suffering, but he never complained. I think he was a victim soul. So that night I went to bed, and I said, all right, if this is from you, when do you want this? And I went to bed. That was it. Well, I woke up at 3 a.m. with dates in my head. That has never happened to me before or after. And the dates were October 7th through October 13th. And I know at the time, one of those dates I knew, and I can't remember, to be honest with you. Of course, one is Feast of the Rosary. The other one is Fatima, October 13th.
Yes.
So the next morning I called him. I said, well, I did what you said, and I woke up dates in my head. This is weird. And I told him. He said, yep, that's Our Lady. He said, October 7th is the Feast of the Rosary, October 13th is Fatima. So next year, October in 1990, that's when we'll do it. So he really, you know, led the charge, and we got the word out. And our first national week of prayer and fasting was held in front of the U.S. Capitol with the platform. And he was in his wheelchair up there and led the rosary. And this part I'll never forget. 7 congressmen came down the hill to the platform, which was in front of the U.S. Capitol. They knelt and prayed the rosary. One of them was Henry Hyde, who was back then the grandfather of the pro-life movement, the Henry Hyde Amendment. And the other congressman was Congressman Chris Smith, who to this day is, you know, leading the charge for pro-life. And I don't know the names of the other ones, but they literally knelt and prayed the rosary. And then someone said to us, it was a bright blue day, it was gorgeous, they said, oh, there's an oval rainbow above the Capitol. I never looked up because we're, you know, going around making sure certain things happen. We had prayers and singing, and someone grabbed my head and said, "You need to look up." So they forced me to look up, and to the right of the U.S. Capitol was this huge oval rainbow. No joke. It was like, what? Everybody that looked up saw it. It was big. And years later, some seminarian, of course I'm sure he's a priest, called me up and said, "Hey, I was there that day, and I saw that oval rainbow. There was nothing in the sky. There was no clouds, nothing." So we took that as a sign of, okay, we have to continue this. So it became international in 1997. We moved it from in front of the U.S. Capitol to the Basilica, and that was the year Mother Teresa had told us she would come and be our keynote speaker. We spoke to her several times. She said, "My daughter, you must do this. God wants this. Prayer is the answer to the world's problems." And she was supposed to speak October 5th, 1997, and she literally went to her reward September 5th, 1 month before. Right. And I remember a bunch of us were upset, and somebody came into my room and said, "You know what? She'll do more good up there in heaven. She's with everyone." And so, yes, we often will pray to her and also to John Paul II for their powerful intercession.
Well, Maureen, we're out of time. We have to do this again.
Well,
let's
great.
Do
a great what you're doing.
I love having you, and you're so in love with Our Lady and Our Lord, and you have so much information to share. So would you agree we'll do this again in the future?
Absolutely, and we'll pray for miracles this coming next few weeks, that people join together, and we will see miracles if we all join forces and more of us pray like never before.
Amen. God bless you, Maureen, and we'll be talking again.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Again, the 31st International Week of Prayer and Fasting at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, October 20th to 28th. And I highly recommend that you share with friends. Maureen Flynn was our special guest today. If you would like information about this, go to info@iwopf.org. It's a free event, or call 888-478-PRAY. And my friends, I'm so happy to have shared this with you today. It's 9 days of mass, prayer, fasting, rosaries, adoration, and community. Community. We believe in miracles. And the relics of Carlo Acutis will be there. So many famous people to give you hope in these desperate times. God bless you. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.